Welcome to Adulthood Made Easy, a podcast from Real Simple Magazine that will not only help you navigate real life, but win at real life. I'm your host, Sam Zabel, and today I'm going to try to figure out how to make a budget and stick to it. It seems like the secret to making adulthood a little bit easier is to have a plan. That's both big plans, like what you want your career path to look like for the next 5 years, and little plans, like bringing a list with you when you go to the grocery store. So setting a budget seems to fall in the middle, and it's one of those essential but kind of difficult things that I need to check off my real-world checklist that will eventually make my life a lot easier. So with me today is Nicole Lappin, finance expert and author of her new book, Rich Bitch, A 12-Step Plan to Getting Your Financial Life Together. So hi, Nicole.
Hi, Sam. I love that you're a lady on a mission for plans.
I am. And I will admit that I'm just not good at keeping track of this stuff. I'm a little scared to look at my bank account. I mean, I have a sense of like what my income is and what my rent costs. But sometimes you're just at that point where you're like, it's bleak. My bank account looks bleak. And I'm like eating peanut butter out of the jar for dinner. And I need to just like set my budget better.
I totally get it. First of all, I don't even have peanut butter in my house because I will eat the entire jar.
Exactly. So maybe that's step one.
Yes. And I'm all about steps. And that's why I made my book a 12-step program. With deference to other 12-step recovery programs, it actually is easier when broken down into baby steps.
I definitely agree. So I think there's like a big question here, which is like, for a lot of people like me who have started their first job, or they're even people who graduation is coming up in a couple of months, how do you sit down and set your first budget? You know, what are the building blocks for that? What are the essentials that you need to make sure you have mapped out? How do you get a good sense of what's coming in versus what you're spending? How do you outline that? That's just like such a big task that makes me nervous.
Here's the deal with like big tasks like that. The first time I actually sat down to do my taxes, for example, I didn't say, okay, I'm going to sit down and do my taxes tonight, and I'm not going to get up until they're done, because literally I would just end up with a big old pint of Haagen-Dazs and my taxes would be a big old mess.
Right.
Because, you know, when you come up with plans like, okay, I'm going to do my budget all day, today, it's going to happen, you're never going to do it.
Right.
Let's be serious. So like with my taxes, I said, okay, day one, I'm going to uncrinkle my receipts.
Sure.
Done and done. Cross that off the list. And it felt like it was a more manageable little baby step for me to take versus just sitting there and wanting to poke my eyeballs out.
Yeah.
And try to do it all together. So the same thing goes for a budget. The first step to doing a budget is to create a balance sheet. And you might break out in hives with me even saying words like balance sheet.
Balance sheet.
I know. It sounds like so Wall Street-y and so insidery. It's not. It's just basically a sheet that you should come up with your assets and your liabilities, which also sound like fancy words, but I know you're smart enough to handle it, so I'm just going to throw them out there for you.
I appreciate your confidence in me.
Listen, sister, I know you're smart. Here's the deal. We've never learned this stuff in school, so don't blame yourself for not knowing it. So your assets is basically the stuff you have, and the liabilities is the stuff you owe. And, you know, literally, you just want to get a snapshot of what you have going on with the place. Because in order to fix it, you have to look your destiny in the eye. So you want to see everything you owe and everything you own all laid out for yourself. And so you want to get super specific, but you only have to do this once. And then it becomes plug and chug mode. And then you create the little budget diary, which breaks down like this. So the three E's for me are essentials, extras, and end game. 70% of your budget should go to essentials. So that means your housing, your transportation, your food, like the basic stuff that you, Sam, need to live on. And I would say like real meals, not just peanut butter. You know, being a grown-ass lady. And then extras can be your morning latte, your yoga class, whatever does it for you, your mani-pedi. Like, I'm not here to tell you how to have fun. This is the good stuff in life that you should account for in your budget. Why? Because if you don't include it in your budget, you'll end up binging on something later on because you feel so starved and, like, deprived. Mm-hmm. And then 15% should go to the end game, which is the future Sam, the cool Betty White-esque old lady who's going to be rocking her retirement in style. And so 15% at least of your gross monthly income should go to the last E, end game.
Okay. So here's my question. I think sometimes, especially those essentials, they change. Like, I don't know, something breaks in your apartment and you have to pay to repair it. Or I feel like sometimes those essentials especially can fluctuate, or you have a lot of one-time costs when you first move into your apartment. You have to buy a couch. So how do you factor those in?
So I actually have, as part of my end game fund, as part of the 15%, I actually have funds, sub-savings accounts in my bank account that account for stuff like, for me, I'm a klutz and I break my iPhone all the time. I can actually guess how often, on average, I break my iPhone twice a year. And so when people say to me like, oh, but all this unexpected stuff happened, I'm like, what are you talking about? Did that happen before? And they're like, yeah, but you know, it was unexpected then too. And then I was like, but you can actually, you can see a pattern here and you can plan for that.
Right.
So literally I put aside $20 every single month toward Nicole's broken iPhone fund. It's a sub-savings account in my bank account. So it's there. And when it happens, it doesn't throw everything out of whack.
So can you talk a little bit about savings versus checking account and how you should be treating each in terms of what you should be putting in each every month?
So here's the deal with savings. Savings is super important to have 3 to 6 months of your expenses saved away if you have a steady job. If you have a more precarious job, like you're an actress or you're a waitress or a real estate agent, mm-hmm. then 6 to 9 months is super important to have as the oh crap fund in case you lose your job, God forbid, you know, there's a sickness in your family, you can't work, then you need that amount in order to live off. You can't go to the supermarket if you don't have a job and pay with your 401k. Let's say you have a 401k.
Right.
You need something that's there readily available, and a savings account is readily available for you. You're not going to get rich on a savings account. So when people say to me, look, I'm saving this money in my savings account, and I'm like, great, except over time you're losing money. So you're losing purchasing power, which means not that a robber is coming to get your money, but that this little booger called inflation is coming to get your money. Inflation is growing at 3%. And inflation just means that when we were kids, you know, how much did it cost to go to the movie theaters?
Well, in New York, it's like, it is robbery a little bit.
Well, that's what happens to inflation. So that's the same thing that happens with the savings account. So after you save away 3 to 6 months, you don't need to worry about making money off that. Then you need to think about more sophisticated things to do with your money. But first, you know, really focus on having that emergency fund before you do anything else.
So all of this sounds like a great building block for setting up your budget. I'm curious, like you said, a lot of that is a one time. You sit down, you figure out the three E's. I think the biggest thing is sticking to it. Like, how many times should you be checking in? How many times should you be recording your, you know, your spending? Do you have to save every single receipt from, like, you had to go buy, like, toilet paper? Like, how do you kind of maintain that and not have it be something that slips through the cracks?
It's a really good question, and it's honestly, and it's not a cop-out answer, it's really what does it for you, what works for you, what will keep you on track, what will keep you from binging later on. I like to tell women, especially when starting a budget, to take the extras, that 15% that normally screws us, take that money out in cash, and like old school green cash. It takes 2 seconds to calculate what 15%, maybe you want to be even more conservative, whatever. I always say allow for small indulgences that will keep you from binging later on. It will keep you happier and keep you more on track. And take that money out in cash, so when the cash is done, the party's over. It's much easier to keep swiping and guesstimate in your head, oh, this is roughly 15% or whatever the magic number you came up with. But guesstimating gets you in bad news bears.
Right.
I mean, it gets you in trouble. But you don't have to save all your receipts, by the way. And in fact, this is a good question that you're asking, because a lot of times I'll go and do like financial makeovers and interventions with women, and they'll save all their receipts. And it actually, like, the clutter makes them anxious and like gives them most anxiety about the whole thing. You're only supposed to be saving the stuff that's related to work that you could potentially write off. Otherwise, don't save toilet paper receipts.
Okay, good to know. So what do you think about some of these money management apps? Something like Mint that helps you keep track of your spending. Like, is that a good way to do it? Or should you really be writing this down physically, like in a notebook or something like that?
when I first started, I was really old school, and I started with like a colored pencil because it just made me happier to do it. But again, it's a super personal choice. If you're like techie spice, then, you know, you might want to get into that. Sometimes that stuff can be overwhelming. If you, you know, are so inclined to do Excel spreadsheets, that's great. If you're so inclined to do binders, I have zebra colored folders. That's what does it for me. So again, it's like, it really, it's whatever keeps you on track.
And what do you think about when you're about to make a big purchase? Like, I have a lot of friends in Chicago. If I want to go visit them, or, you know, you're buying your first couch or something like that, like, how do you decide if it's worth it to kind of realign your budget for those big purchases? I think people have a lot of like guilt and anxiety about them because they think that it's just going to mess everything up.
That's why, you know, you leave the stuff like a trip to see your girlfriend in Chicago in the extras category. And so again, it gives you leeway. Maybe 1 month you nested your brains out and the only extra you had that month was like Netflix or something. And then you still have money in that fund to do fun stuff with. And that's why I really advocate having fun, which, you know, a lot of financial experts will have my hide for saying, buy your latte, because you'll hear all the time, like, don't buy a latte. You know, you'll save X amount depending on what sort of triple grande blah blah you order. But really, it's the small indulgences that you should account for. And it's the stuff that's like, it's the reason we live for anyway. So as long as it's moderated indulgences, then I think you're all good to do it.
Do you have any like big budgeting mistakes that I should be watching out for that you see people make? Maybe when they outline their budget, they make a big mistake, or in maintaining it, that I could just be proactive and avoid altogether?
Yeah, I think that the biggest thing is, you know, having a gap in your budget. Like the stuff that you're bringing in and the stuff that you're spending needs to match. Mm-hmm. And so if it doesn't match, like you need to go back and check that out. And a lot of times we forget about the auto payment stuff. So do you have a New York Times subscription? Do you have a tanning subscription? Do you have the Harry and David fruit club of the month that you sent to your mom? Like whatever it was.
Yeah.
You have to really remember that little stuff, because that's the stuff that often throws people off budget.
I think that's the same thing with apps like Venmo or something, where you're not even seeing the money leave. Like someone just charges you and you're like, oh yeah, we split dinner that night. Sure. I think there's such a big problem with exactly what you were saying. You should take out cash, because if you don't, it's like you don't even notice where it goes.
Totally. And, you know, then you can sort of graduate, I guess, to a debit card, because then you are understanding what that money gets you. And it's really not, start changing your mindset too, I would say, Sam, to stop thinking of it as like a scary budget and start thinking of it as a spending plan. And I know that's like a very small like semantics shift, but in the same way as like if you don't think of a diet as a diet, you think of it as an eating plan, it seems like you're more likely to stick with it. And so you don't feel deprived. Like it's not an Atkins thing. It's not a grapefruit thing. It's not a Master Cleanse. You know, it's a way of life.
It's a plan. And I definitely am working to have a plan.
I love it. Balanced abundance.
So the first step will be unwrinkling my receipts today.
Yeah, girl.
That will be what I will do. I will commit to that.
I love it.
Great. Well, thank you so much, Nicole. I really appreciate you taking the time to outline all of this for me. And you made it sound pretty fun, so I'm looking forward to it.
You know what? Budgeting sucks, honey, but so does being broke.
That's very true. Well, thank you.
Thank you, Sam.
And thanks to all of you for joining me today for Adulthood Made Easy. Do you have questions or topics you'd like me to cover next time? Tweet them to me at Sam Zabel, and I'll add them to my list. I'd like to thank our producer, Andrew Leland. If you enjoyed the episode, please review and subscribe on iTunes, where you'll also find 3 more podcasts from Real Simple. And don't forget to buy a copy of the book that has all the answers, The Real Simple Guide to Real Life, which you can now pre-order on Wayfair.com/realsimple. I'm Sam Zabel, and I'll have more answers next time.